We could use a million votes to help support Crest Ridge High School as they are in that competition. For those of you that just listened to that last segment, I do have a little bit of information. Thanks to the people that are listening now, sending Twitter videos and information. Again, you go to Instagram. I know all of you that listen probably have Instagram. I'm going to get Bob an Instagram page. I swear to it. Just so he can vote. This was the news package on what we just talked about.
The school is one of 16 finalists for T-Mobile's Friday Night 5G Lights contest. They're the only school left in either Kansas or Missouri, which is really upping the ante. Just off 50 Highway, surrounded by farmland, is the heart of the Centerview community. Friday Night Lights could look a lot different next year now that the Crest Ridge Cougars beat out 1,700 other schools to be a finalist in T-Mobile's national competition.
Welcome to Crest Ridge.
The school's already won $30,000 and is now competing for a multi-million dollar prize.
The safety is obviously an issue.
Superintendent Heather Gross is talking about the football field. Built by local farmers in 1982, it's only been upgraded once. The huge crown in the center of it makes it not only tricky to see the players, but to actually play on as well.
It not only affects my son right now, but I have two younger kids that they're going to play on this field too.
Another issue is the gravel track used by the men's and women's track team. Since it's not regulation size or up to standard, it is impossible to host a meet. T-Mobile reps hosted a tailgate party at Friday's home game, which is why you see so much pink. They're helping spread the word about the contest. Since the school doesn't belong to any major city, that's affected its ability to make expensive improvements, which is why the prospect of a luxury makeover would be a dream come true.
We are a very small district, and we don't really have a town. So, our revenues are limited and how we receive taxes.
It would change their lives. It would truly change their lives.
So they can only win this competition if they get the most likes on their Instagram video. So get your phone out, go to Instagram and search for Crest Ridge Cougar. You'll want to like the very first video that's pinned on their page. The competition, by the way, ends November 12th.
So November 12th, they already have 21.
Got a month.
Yep, they got 21,000 likes. One of them is from your boys, Dusty Likens. There's 21,000. There's over 10,300 shares with that video. So go to Crest Ridge Cougar, like it. Let's get those kids some money and let them win this this competition by T-Mobile. Again, you heard the video or the audio, $30,000 already there. That's not enough. Gravel pit tracks, crowns in the stadium, can't see their kids play. Make it for the future. And help support local is what we like to do here. But that's where we stand. So there we go. Crest Ridge. Get those Cougars some money. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on a Monday. After a bye week, the Chiefs will roll on. But what we saw this weekend was the arrival of maybe what we will now have as a gutsy Rookie of the Year competition with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I thought Jaden Daniels was decent. I thought he was okay. I mean, it was a big game, obviously, this weekend, right? With Jaden Daniels and Washington, that was a tough game. That was a hard fought game from Washington. They just ran into Derrick Henry. No pun intended.
Like, they've won right now. Baltimore's had 43 straight games where they've rushed over 100 yards. I mean, you've got to shut down the run to beat the Baltimore Ravens. There's just no question about it. I mean, that's why you look at the Chiefs. They shut down Derrick Henry for the most part. Lamar beat him with his legs, right? It wasn't Derrick Henry that beat him with their legs, but he's starting to beat up everybody right now. We'll see how he is at the end of the season. That's going to be interesting to me to follow a aging running back to see where he's going to be at the end of the season. But you wanted to see Jaden Daniels get that win, like take that next step, get that marquee win, get that big, victory over Baltimore. That would have been a big win, I thought, for Jaden Daniels yesterday. But Lamar and Baltimore proved, hey, we're still here, right? We're not going anywhere quite yet, and we're still a little bit better than you guys. You haven't had the experience yet, and they took care of business yesterday. So congratulations to the Ravens for getting that one done. But Jaden Daniels, I guess, takes a little bit of a dip, and everybody's, is he the MVP and the Rookie of the Year? And this is why we don't vote after 5 weeks of an NFL season. But I mean, in this day and age, we want to crown every rookie and make every rookie the greatest of all time instead of, I don't know, just letting things play out and seeing how they adjust, over the course of their career. The only player that this league has not been able to figure out has really been Patrick Mahomes. Everybody else gets figured out at some point or the other in this league, and it's about how you adjust back to that league. And once the league starts to figure figure out Mahomes in this offense, they adjust and they do things differently. So now's the adjustment period. Caleb Williams has had a couple of good games. Jaden Daniels has had some good games. Maybe the league starts to figure them out a little bit. How do they adjust back and become better football players than they were in the first couple of weeks where nobody really knew what to expect because everybody thought Patrick Mahomes was going to come back down to earth in that first year, right? Oh, teams will eventually figure him out. Then they didn't. Then there was an offseason. Then they didn't. Then there was another offseason. Then they did. And they still haven't really figured out Patrick Mahomes. Most guys get figured out in this league. It's how they adjust back and how they counter what the league is doing against them. And so I think we saw a little bit of that with Jaden Daniels yesterday. Maybe the league has adjusted back to him. How does he evolve and take that next step forward?
No doubt about it. And you had a question is why do we crown Caleb Williams before we crown a guy like Jared Goff?
Yeah, like nobody wants to crown Jared Goff, who has a very good track record in this league, if not better than very good track record in this league, right? He's been the face of the two organizational turnarounds. He took the LA Rams to a Super Bowl, and then it just wasn't the right fit for, you know, the coach Sean McVay and him out there. So they flipped him to Detroit, got Matthew Stafford, and he's led Detroit back to this prominence right now. But everybody wants to jump on board the Caleb Williams train or the Jaden Daniels train. Like, why do we want to crown the next when we have a guy that nobody's willing to say, you know what, maybe we were wrong about in Jared Goff? Because his last name is Goff? Is that why nobody wants to get excited about Jared Goff? Like, I see Jared Goff, who's done nothing but lead two franchises back from the ashes, and Caleb Williams played six games, four of them decent enough, and we want to crown him as the next. Why is that in the NFL? Why do we want to do that?
Mac, you want to go or you want me to go?
Well, can I ask you, do you think Jared Goff is underrated?
I do. I do. I don't think people are willing to embrace Jared Goff as the good quarterback. We want to praise the wide receivers. We want to praise Dan Campbell. We were praising Aiden Hutchinson and that defense and everybody else around him. It was like, oh my God, look at all the weapons Detroit has. Oh, and then there's Jared Goff. Like, that's the guy getting them the football. It's funny how we pick and choose certain arguments for certain quarterbacks in the NFL. Some will say, wow, they're great because they win Super Bowls, and some we won't give the benefit of the doubt to. And it depends on really where they are. Like, Jared Goff is a really good quarterback in this league, and nobody wants to put him in the category. He's one of the five best quarterbacks. He's on one of the best teams, getting the ball to these to his weapons. They put up 47 points yesterday, and everybody wants to sit back and go, I don't know. It's like, because our mind gets made up. We want to be the first to declare stuff, and then when it doesn't go our way, we never want to admit we were wrong about things, right? I may be wrong about Caleb Williams, but it's too early to tell if Caleb Williams is any good. Jared Goff has got the track record there. Jared Goff's a really good quarterback that nobody wants to embrace and let be a good quarterback. So why are you laughing, Mac? No, why are you, no, why
Dusty
are you smirking?
Dusty gave me a look. That's
because
my fault.
To be fair, you didn't even give Caleb Williams a chance before he took a snap in the NFL.
Because he hadn't done anything. You're right.
But you didn't give him a chance.
You're right.
But in your argument there, you're saying nobody gave Jared Goff a chance.
That's correct. But no, but he's got a track record. He's got years of a track record right now. I'm not saying gave
him a
chance.
But he was the first overall
pick. I'm not saying then. I'm saying today.
Okay.
We're looking around the league today. Jared Goff is a better quarterback today than when he was drafted number one overall. There's no doubt in my mind. He is a better quarterback today than when he was drafted number one overall. But yet we're all putting Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels ahead of Jared Goff. Like, if you polled people and you said, who's a better quarterback, Caleb Williams or Jared Goff, I would bet the majority of people would say Caleb Williams. Based on what? Based on six games. Jared Goff has got an entire career where he's been a really, really, really good quarterback in this league, and people always want to discount him and always want to go with the new toy. Ooh, look at this. This is great. This is wonderful. Whoa. This is exciting, you know?
I don't think Jared Goff is a top five quarterback. Like, I still think I would take Justin Herbert over Jared Goff.
See, I would not take Justin Herbert. I'm not a believer in that guy.
But, I mean... You put Justin Herbert on Detroit, and you would see more egregious numbers than what Jared Goff is doing.
For
and
sure.
That's a fair assessment. Is Jared Goff a top 10 quarterback? 1,000%
yes.
He is. Top five, big stretch.
And I think what you're saying... Sorry,
no, you're good. Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is true, though, and I think we've all fallen victim to it, but I think, like, you talk trash, and not saying you, but a lot of people talk trash on, you know, say a guy like Dak Prescott. Like, to me,
he doesn't win when it matters, though. I mean, like, Dak Prescott does not have the it factor, in my opinion.
Yeah, winning is a team thing, and we can talk about Jared Goff and situation. We talked about situations being really about half of what a quarterback's career is going to be. Jared Goff has been gifted situations his whole career. You know, other guys
he
really
haven't.
He was
the number one pick for a team that just moved from St. Louis that was complete and total ass and took that team to the Super Bowl.
And then 2 years later found the phenom coach that's a top five head coach, and they spent more money than anyone else in the league, and they had the best roster in all of football.
And I'll tell you this, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Andy Reid, he doesn't have two straight
There's
Super Bowl
no
championships
in three.
I mean, it's all about that perfect
Absolutely.
Relationship with everything.
But we notice those things, and we bring it up with Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes, on the other hand, has 50 and 5,000. You know, Goff has 28 touchdowns, 12 picks, 3,500 yards on amazing teams and amazing situations. He's good. He's really good. Really good quarterbacks.
But you're also comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, that's such an anomaly.
But you said top five. So you're comparing him to Joe Burrow, to Josh Allen.
If I need to win a game, Jared Goff's one of the five quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's not a guy anymore, guys. Like,
They played in the same amount of Super Bowls.
We need to let Joe Burrow go at the moment. Like, Joe Burrow is not the same Joe Burrow that played here and beat the Chiefs in that postseason game. At least that's the feeling that I get. He's got the busted up wrist. They're not playing good football right now.
What I will ask you is, what's Jared Goff's biggest win off the top of your head?
Probably the NFC Championship game when they got into the Super Bowl.
Did he win that game?
I don't know. He's the quarterback of that team, though. I mean, see, but there we go. We're picking and choosing what we want to credit quarterbacks with based on whether or not we like that quarterback.
Look, I think Jared Goff is Alex Smith. I think Jared Goff is very similar to what Alex Smith is. And there was a lot of people, and maybe there were those people.
What if Jared Goff gets to a Super Bowl this year? He's better than Alex Smith because he's already been to one Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get out of his division first, a tough division. But again, what I'm getting at is that I think when you look at what the situation is, which the beginning of the argument was Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, why do we give Caleb Williams so much praise and Jared Goff not enough? Because I think Jared Goff has hit his ceiling. I think Caleb Williams' ceiling is still unknown, and it's rising as we go on. And I trust me, I don't have the text line open yet. I still have our rundown open. I'll look at it, and I'll answer questions. But the thing is that Jared Goff and Caleb Williams have one thing in common. They were both number one overall picks. The problem is that Caleb Williams has the ability, from what we've seen, to have that superstar level. Whereas Jared Goff is very evergreen, very vanilla.
The thing right there. He's very evergreen and very vanilla. And people like that. But he doesn't resonate, you know?
That's the answer to your question, is that Jared Goff was drafted to be a manageable style quarterback. Caleb Williams was drafted to take a team to the promised land and be an overall like top quarterback in the league because of what he was compared to, which some would say it's unfair. Some would say it's egregious. Some would say it's dumb because there is only going to be one Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, that's just a fact. Somebody else will eventually come along and be the best quarterback in the NFL like we've always seen throughout time, but they'll never be that same type of quarterback. Like, there's never going to be maybe a guy that's the way that Tom Brady played. There may never be a guy that does it the way Patrick Mahomes did it, but there will be a guy that comes and resonates a new style of quarterback or a new way of play that where you're like, that's something we haven't seen before, because that's the luxury of having sports evolve the way they do. But I think that Caleb Williams comes into a league where, because of who he is, whether you like him, whether you don't, his flamboyant characters, his loud, over the top. He was a quarterback during NIL, like when it first started. He lived in a penthouse suite in California. He followed his coach, who might be out of USC. That's a story for another day. But like, I think that's the problem that we have, is that yes, these kids get the notoriety and the attention, and then all of a sudden they win Heisman trophies and they go play at USC and they do these type of things. And Jared Goff out of Cal was overall number one pick. But if Jared Goff was so good and so liked by his coach got rid of him for another quarterback and won a Super Bowl with that quarterback.
Absolutely. And Jared Goff is doing great things in Detroit right now.
But he's not winning titles.
Well, but he's been there, what, 2-3 years now? So you've got the opportunity to see him. He's also in the Mahomes era right now, which also, too, I think does impact this, is that I think a lot of this has to do with the rest of the general public just being tired of Patrick Mahomes. And you can look around the National Football League and you try to find somebody who you think can knock off Patrick Mahomes. And right now, the unknown of Caleb Williams for a lot of people is better than what the known is of Jared Goff. People think maybe Caleb Williams could be the next Patrick Mahomes because we have not seen anything but 6 games of Caleb Williams in the NFL. The unknown is still there, but the unknown of him being able to be better than Patrick Mahomes is still greater than the known of what Jared Goff is. And that's just a steady, really good quarterback that helps his team win games that nobody wants to give credit to. And I think a lot of this is the Patrick Mahomes factor, just like a lot of it was the Tom Brady factor. People got sick of Tom Brady and the Patriots winning. People are tired outside of this area of the Chiefs winning Super Bowls and dominating, and everybody is trying to find who can be that guy that can knock off Patrick Mahomes. Can Jared Goff do it? I would say most people probably think no, right? But Jared Goff did beat Patrick Mahomes, right?
Twice,
right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Beat Patrick Mahomes twice. And Caleb Williams is that guy who you look at and you go, I don't know what he can do against Patrick Mahomes, but I feel like he gives me a better chance and a better success rate than maybe what Jared Goff is, even though Jared Goff has beaten Patrick Mahomes in the couple of times that they matched up. So I think a lot of that does factor in, but it also factors in because it's new and he's on the scene and yeah, it's Chicago and they want him to do so good. And meanwhile, hey, Steady Eddie's up there in Detroit still winning football games and making everybody look stupid when he plays against him.
Goff is a win with quarterback and a really good win with quarterback that Caleb Williams has the chance to be a win because of.
But has not proven
and
that.
And we're very excited about a chance for, because there's what is there, three win because of guys?
And there you go. It goes back to the same argument that you can have for Major League Baseball when it comes to starting pitching. There just isn't enough good starting pitching.
Exactly.
There aren't enough great quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's why when I hear expansion or when I hear growth of the league and we need,
I agree.
The league is perfect where it is. In fact, some would say there's not, like, look at some of these quarterbacks that we have in the NFL right now that are starting quarterback. Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league. We do not need expansion. There's not enough good quarterbacks. And so when you see one that has potentially the promise of being one, we all fall over ourselves whether or not that guy achieved anything yet.
Jared Goff in that Super Bowl run with the Rams, 55% completion, one touchdown, two picks. He did not lead that team. That's all I want to say.
In the postseason, you mean?
In the postseason. One touchdown, two interceptions, completed 55% of his
passes. That defense was fantastic.
Exactly. That team was amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, during the regular season, they were pretty damn good. Remember, they put up 55 points. We watched it. Like, it was the greatest football game any of us have ever seen, you know?
So fun.
So you've got, like Trevor Lawrence. I think the bloom is off that flower now, right? Like, everybody can say Trevor Lawrence is no good and whatnot. Like, in order to be one of the greats in the NFL, you can't just have, or in baseball, or in basketball, or anything, you can't have a good 6 weeks and be crowned. It's how you grow every week. It's how you get better from year to year. It's how you stay on top. It's how you do those little things. Like, Patrick Mahomes doesn't stay on top because he goes home and puts his feet up in Dallas for the offseason. He's working every single day, trying to get better every single day. That's what it takes in the NFL. So it's a nice start for Caleb Williams. There's no denying that. But is he going to be able to maintain? Is he going to be able to keep it up there? Is he going to have the right people surrounding him all the time? You know, I don't think they have the right coach right now in Chicago, but I don't think they have the right owner in Chicago right now. But for Caleb Williams, like, we've got to give guys more than just six games, because this is like crowning Kela Kaiohue. This is like crowning, you know, Mike Jacobs. This is like crowning all of these guys that we've seen pop on the scene, do great, but as soon as the league adjusts to them, they're not allowed to adjust back to the league. How many people were excited about Tony Moiaki? How many people were excited about, you know, the guy who was, you know, came up here, Aaron Murray? How many people were excited about Brody Croyle? Like, every quarterback we've seen, everybody wants to get excited about him. Then they play, then the league figures them out, and then they're left selling insurance. Not to say that Caleb Williams is going to be doing that, but I mean, we got to give somebody more than just a 6 week span to determine whether or not they have arrived on the scene. If we're having this conversation at the end of the year, Caleb Williams is still doing what he did, you know, yesterday and playing like he did for the last 2 weeks and putting up 35 points in consecutive game after game after game, great. Hey, he's arrived. He's had a wonderful first season. Excited to see him next year. But I think at this point in time, we're praising people who have a very limited shelf life, who haven't done a whole heck of a lot. And you're looking at a guy like Jared Goff and everybody's like, eh, but all he does is win, win, win.
Jared Goff, not even in the top 20 in passing yards and not in the top 20 in passing touchdowns. Caleb Williams is 11th in passing yards, and in touchdowns, he's tied for 7th. So Caleb Williams is putting up numbers, and you can say what you want. Oh yeah, look who he's played, Jacksonville. He's played.
I'm not,
you know,
I don't even go to that.
No,
route,
I'm not saying you are, but there are people that will say that on the text line, like, you know, whatever, and so forth and
it
so on.
It all evens out at the end. Everybody plays the same schedule, save two games in your division. You know, that's it. If the Bears and Lions at the end of the year will play the exact same schedule except for two games, that's it.
Right. And the thing is, Caleb Williams was drafted to save his franchise. Jared Goff was there to maintain that franchise in Detroit.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is...
and that's a tough thing to do, to save a franchise, man. Like, that's a hard, hard thing to tell.
It is.
Anybody, right? Like, you know, you got to go out here and you got to save this franchise. That was the good thing about Patrick Mahomes coming in, right? It's a good franchise. Patrick didn't have to come in here and save the franchise.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes had to come here and take what the franchise was doing and accentuate it. And boy, did he. I mean, boy, did he to a different level. But you give these quarterbacks the keys to the franchise or anything like that. Say, okay, it's your turn to go out there and save the franchise. I know you were playing against, you know, rum-dum East Toenail State last year, but come in and save our franchise. Most of the time, it just doesn't work because people who need franchise saviors need more than a quarterback.
Well, if you love something to look forward to, the Bears will have a bye this week. And then in 2 weeks at noon, Chicago at Washington.
And they should flex that. There's still time to flex that game.
You got
to
do it this week, right?
Yes. Yeah, that ought to be Sunday Night Football.
Who plays Sunday night that week, though?
Dallas Niners.
That's not getting flexed.
Come on, no.
No, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not getting flexed.
You're right.
Dallas.
Not only that, you want to know what the Monday Night Football game is that week? This is the Monday Night Football game that week. So you get Dallas Niners Sunday night. Right. Oh boy, it's going to be juicy on Monday. No, it ain't. It's Giants Steelers.
No!
You could.
I'm dead serious.
You could flex that one, but you know what? You're not going to flex Pittsburgh. You're just not going to do it.
And there's really not a whole lot of good games that week. That's the week that the Chiefs will absolutely obliterate the Raiders. Packers, Jags, no, that's not a good one. Titans, Lions, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Patriots, Bears, Commanders, Dolphins, Cardinals, Saints, Chargers, Bills, Seahawks, Cincy, Philly. That's your 325 Tony Romo, Jim Nance game. We could see what that would mean. And then, yeah, Dallas Niners, 720.
When do the Chiefs play the Raiders that day?
That's a noon game.
The Chiefs and Raiders?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's a 325 game in Vegas.
You got to think Nomo and Rance are going to be on that call, right?
Well, didn't you say they're going to be on the other one?
I'm just guessing they would have Philly at Cincy, but maybe they would have.
I think anytime they can get the Chiefs, they're doing that. It's such a better
in
product.
Vegas, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't flex that game. You're not going to do it because you're not moving off Dallas. No matter how bad Dallas is, they still get the eyeballs, right?
Somebody says it's Jets Steelers, not Giants. No, I'm looking at it. It says Monday, October 28th, New York Giants at Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Don.
That's the Giants.
Yeah, that's what I meant. New York Giants at Steelers.
That's what I'm saying. York Giants. It's not the Jets.
Yeah, that's what the text line says. It's Jets Steelers, not Giants.
And they're not going to flex the Jets. It doesn't matter. Everybody watches Aaron Rodgers. You know,
Jets Patriots play at noon
that
week.
They do?
Yeah,
that'll get flexed off the schedule.
Yeah.
We're just going to cancel this game this week. Jets and Patriots. Nobody's interested. No, Aaron Rodgers draws an audience. You're going to watch Aaron Rodgers tonight, right? You're absolutely going to have that game on to see what goes on. Coach fired. Rodgers getting all the blame. Buffalo, first place on the line. Come on now.
Yep.
That's a great way to look at the script going into this thing.
Yeah, you got
to
flex that one out. I don't want to see it. You talk about, I'd rather watch Bills Jets than I'd rather watch Dallas and Niners. Ugh. No thanks.
Bills Jets. Say it again. Bills Jets or Dallas and Niners?
Yeah.
Oh, Bills Jets.
Yeah, okay. No doubt.
Every day.